Blog Talk Radio.
And you are with She's Raising the Bar on Blog Talk Radio. And we're happy to have you here every Wednesday joining us as you do faithfully. And it's, you know, I tell you something. The wonderful thing about the show that we do every week for you is the fact that we get such wonderful guests on. And it's just, we have, I think, Elite, that every week we have guests that probably are more interesting than the week before.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
We have women that are successful in every walk of life, in every sense of the word, in every sense of the word success. And today, wait, first of all.
Today is pretty interesting, I have
you
to
know
tell
what,
you.
But I want to do something. I want to do something before we even go on any further. I wanna get people prepared, Elite,
for a little special guest.
Now, anybody who's under 40 won't know this song, but we know it, right?
Mama Cass.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Isn't that nice? Come on.
Da, 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 da,
come on, get to the point, Cass Elliot. Get to the point. Here we go. Bring it home, doll.
Dream a little dream of me.
There we go. And that's what our show is about today. It's about dream analysis. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, really get confused with that. They probably think it's like prediction or something, but there is an actual science to dream analysis. I think
I'm really pretty curious to see.
Yeah,
you know how she does it.
I don't want to misspeak, but I'm positive there's probably some sort of psych background.
Probably.
I'm thinking there has to be some sort of psych background, but we'll certainly find out when our guest joins us in a few minutes. But before then, I turn to my lovely co-host. And I ask you with the utmost sincerity, how are you, Elite?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very good.
And you have big plans for the 4th, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. What I really wanted to talk about is I saw Wonder Woman.
Oh!
And I wanted to discuss, you know, my
if you want to discuss it, then I want to discuss it.
Yeah. You know, I'm very upset that somebody's mowing their lawn outside.
Well, what could you do? This is you know, the studio isn't as soundproofed as I guess it could be.
No.
But here, tell me about
so
Wonder Woman.
I thought that it was too much of a hype, you know.
Okay.
I thought the acting wasn't great.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a big
fantasy.
I'm not a fantasy person.
Yeah, that's one thing.
So those kind of movies never turned me on.
Right.
But what was nice to see is the movie was, you know, making women of power.
Yeah.
You know, because they opened up in this island filled of Amazon women. And it wasn't even in this world. I don't know where it was. But it was actually, like, based in, I think it's, like, the 1940s because they were preparing for World War II.
Mm.
And it was just very far-fetched.
I'm trying to think the show Wonder Woman. Remember
the show
Wonder Woman.
I was a big fan of that show.
I'm trying to think because I can't remember where it was supposed to be. I don't really understand.
I never really followed the genesis of
the character either. But you know what? We had that roundtable discussion last week.
Right.
And it was interesting because I was the only one. I was the only one that actually said that. I wasn't sure how it represented women in the fact that...
Oh, it represented women.
No. In the fact that the body image concept, in the fact that 60% of women are falling into a certain category that would lend themselves to being overweight. So my point was
there wasn't one overweight woman in.
But what I'm trying to say, well,
in the Amazon country.
But this is what I'm saying. My point last week was, as a woman in the audience who might not be that size one,
mm-hmm.
how do they feel? Do they feel inspired or do they feel intimidated? That was my point.
No, I don't think the movie was about body image whatsoever. I think it was empowering women no matter what they did,
no matter what they look like. I think that's
and
a wonderful thing.
That's basically
but
what...
But you didn't like it?
No.
Okay, well...
No. I thought it was very, very overdone. Well, it was cute because you had Wonder Woman that had no idea about men or the real world, you know, thinking, oh, we don't do this in, you know, wherever she came from.
Now, I'm trying to, you know what, the funny thing about the original show is I watched it often, but I don't remember any plots. Diana Prince was her name, wasn't it? Diane Prince?
I think it was Diana Prince. Yeah.
I don't remember the relationship she had with her male counterparts, if there was a love interest. I really don't remember.
This took her back all the way back to, you know, when her mother told her, you know, how to become, you know, you have the power and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fairy tale stuff.
But that's it. It's let's be serious. It's a fantasy
again,
movie.
You know, I'm not a fantasy person. So.
It's a summer release.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just fun. It's something that you could take the kids to and, and feel good about it and feel
definitely.
That, you know, you don't have to cover their eyes at any point or, you know, anything like that. So I guess, you know, it's, you know, look, I think it made everybody's salary and then some, right?
Oh, for
it's
sure.
Doing, it's, I think
sure.
it's.
I think she did a very good job for somebody that just, you know, did her first movie, you know?
Oh, well, you know what? Hopefully she doesn't get typecast and we see more of her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because that's what happens. That I remember happened to Linda Hamilton when she was in The Terminator. It took her a while to get a quote-unquote
a regular
straight
role.
Yeah,
a regular role.
You know, because it's like they, you know, and that's why just inside track is
what
a lot of...
happened to her? She disappeared.
Well, she's still around.
I
saw her recently
she's still around, but
on...
I'm just
I forgot what I saw her recently on, but that's why a lot of times when they want you to play a character like that, your agent doesn't really want you to put on muscle because then it's harder to take the next role because then it's all of that. But you know, hey, look, this is basically what a movie is supposed to do: entertain you for 2 hours, an hour and a half, take you away from the real world a little bit, and you know, just
that's it.
Forget about like Billy Joel said, to forget about life for a while.
Something to do for a little bit.
Yeah. So let me tell you a little bit about our. Remind me to wish her a happy belated birthday. Her birthday was on the 26th. Lauren Lawrence is a dreams columnist of the New York Daily News. She has a new book out too. Her book is Side Effects, and it's actually a book of poetry, which is really, really, really cool.
Oh, that's different.
She also starred in the TV show. I remember this TV show, Celebrity Nightmares Decoded. It was on the Biography Channel. But she's also she was a former Political Dreams columnist of George Magazine. I don't think that magazine is around anymore. I don't think so. But she was also profiled on Extra, The O'Reilly Factor, Fox and Friends, Red Eye, CBS, The Early Show, Tyra Banks, E! Star Treatment, CNN Moneyline, and she was also on Dr. Oz. She's also known for interpreting the dreams of Paris Hilton, Pavarotti, Michael Douglas, Kate Moss, numerous others, and she'll be with us in a few moments. And you know what's really nice, I think, is she has a whole lot going on for her birthday. Her birthday month. So I think that's like a lot of great stuff that could possibly happen on your birthday. You know, I think it's just like, what better way to welcome in another year of your life than with, you know what I'm saying, with a lot of good buzz happening around you and
definitely.
Friends celebrating you. I mean, I think that's kind of the way birthday should be. You know, you just... happy to be and just celebrating your talents and your life, and I think that's pretty much what it should be. Or Well, you disagree, Ali, because you got that fotch on.
No, I totally agree. I mean, there's no better time to celebrate them. Such
and
know,
she's
happy
got
times.
And she's got several books out, but this is the only book that is on poetry. So I think that I'd like to ask why that came about. Most of it is dream analysis and different versions of it. But you know what's interesting about dreams is there are so many books out there. I remember my mother had Zolar's book. Zolar, dream analysis, and he also did sun signs and astrological things and so on and so forth. But and I remember, and you know, a lot of dream analysis that I had around me growing up was, and I always say the Italian kind. It's the influx of old superstition. I mean, I come from a big Sicilian family, so this meant that meant this, and I remember my mother was really great at it.
It's all superstition.
It was all superstition.
Stuff.
It wasn't true dream analysis. It was just, I remember my mother would say,
They used to say, even my mother used to say, oh, your teeth fell out. You remember your
disappointment.
Disappointment or
bad
luck
is
coming or something like that.
It's funny how every culture almost had the same thing. That is so weird. But I remember white meant you're going to get some good news.
Really?
White meant something, a baby meant something else.
But who dreamt in colors?
You don't dream in colors?
I don't remember.
You know what?
So.
I had a dream last night, and I don't often remember my dreams. Now, I don't know where this comes from. I was in my office, and I was lip-syncing to Captain and Tennille's Love Will Keep Us Together. What the hell that means?
You know,
I'm almost
funny
afraid.
That you mentioned this.
I'm almost afraid to ask.
I had a dream. It was a couple of days ago, actually. It was about my friend Lydia.
Who passed.
Who passed, and actually she was alive in this dream.
Right.
But we were preparing for her funeral. That was very weird.
Mm.
It was so real, too. It was very real. I wonder what that means. You know?
Well, you know what?
I just felt like she was with me at that moment in my dreams. You know, they always say
it's like a visitation.
Yeah, she came while I dreamt of her.
Which she hadn't been on your mind lately, right?
No.
That you know of.
No. You know, I have her mask card on my mirror that, you know, when I get ready in the mirror, I always see it.
Yeah.
But, it's every day. That's the first time I dreamt of her. But it was just so real, too, because we were at, like, this cocktail party, and she was there, and she was getting ready to go to her funeral. We were going to bury her.
Wow.
And I remember Lucille was there, too, which is, you know, our very good friend. And we were going to both go, and it's time to go.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird? Now that
you
just mentioned
that. It's funny because, I mean, sometimes, a lot of people say, well, a cigar is just a cigar. It doesn't mean, but, you know, it just could be, I mean, it could mean nothing. It could mean everything. It could be nothing related whatsoever.
Right. I don't know.
You know?
Like I said, it was so real.
Yeah. It could be also that you equate Lucille with her because you all were friends for many
years
and you're going to be going to an
event. Like I said, I just feel like she visited me at that time.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know?
I'm sure. Look, you know, again, it's just there's so many things that go on, I think, in our daily lives and so many thoughts go through our heads that we might not remember everything that we think about that, you know, will come to fruition when our minds are at rest.
True. Very true.
You know what I'm saying? But that's like I said, like I don't remember my dreams for the most part. But last night I thought it was pretty bizarre, just lip syncing in my office.
Yeah, that is
too
bizarre.
Love will keep us together.
Huh. Love.
Yeah. So
love
that's
keep
really
us together.
Well, yeah. But again, it could be something I heard during the day.
Right.
Although I mean, you know, I do tend to listen to music of that era, so it's quite possible that I did. But it just, you know, and you know who else, Elite, was interested in dream analysis, and I don't know if I ever brought this up to you, but we were with him on his show, Doug Grunther. Remember the Radio Woodstock, when we did Radio Woodstock?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He has a show, and most of his show, he has a section of it that, are you playing Captain and Tennille?
I just playing that for me? I wanted to see if you would lip sync for me.
No, I'm not going to.
No.
And this won't. You'll lip syncing for the both of us. But Doug had a column also in a newspaper.
Oh, really?
He was that heavy into it. He didn't make a living, but this is just kind of his passion. That's really funny. I think it's something that a lot of people are interested in, you know, because it just, you know, I think it's safe analysis. You know what I'm saying, you could interpret my dreams, and I don't really have to say anything. I don't have to really give you information. You could extrapolate.
You're not predicting my future.
You're not reading,
you know, the dead around me and stuff like that, you know?
There's nothing wrong with any of that.
No, I mean, there's a lot of people like that.
I think it's safe because you could take a lot away about what's going on in the person's psyche without asking them questions. You know,
I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to analyze about that, you know?
Yeah, it's just interesting. I want to also ask her how. I mean, that doesn't seem like it's an instant transition. I'm thinking it's something that probably was a stepping stone from something else.
Mm-hmm. I think
you
so
know what
too.
I'm saying? But I think she might be on the line. If not, we'll make this might be the caller from last week. And if it is. But if it is the lovely Lauren Lawrence, we've got to let her on. So let's see if it's her.
I hope it is.
Lauren, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hello.
Because you're calling from an unknown number.
Oh.
Last week it was a prank call.
We had a little something, and we don't have a 7-second delay, and something got on the air last week. So
here we are.
Happy belated birthday, my dear.
Yes,
oh, thank
happy
you.
Birthday.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
And a happy many returns. And she's a creative Cancerian.
Yes, so many of them, huh?
Oh, it's so many around.
So
us.
Many.
So you know what? I don't know if you heard Ali and I bantering.
No, there's something
about dream analysis. I think that a lot of people are just fascinated with, and I don't know if it's because it seems like it's safe analysis. It's a way of exploring somebody's deeper being without asking a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
But my question to you is, this doesn't seem like it's something that transitions easily. So I'm wondering, did you have some sort of psychology background that you morphed into this? I mean, did you tell us a little bit about your background?
Oh, well, absolutely. Psychology was my second master's degree. My first one was in communications, which is also very tied into everything. And psychology was my second master's degree. And during the time when I was taking the courses, I was also writing papers on my own theory, and I was getting them published in top psychoanalytic journals, and in some classes I had more publications than my professors.
Wow.
That's something.
And it was interesting. I don't know where that comes from. It's something very special. So even though I have the master's in psychology, I have 7 or 8 published articles in top journals on my own theory. So, you know, I once met the great-granddaughter of Sigmund Freud. And Jane McAdam Freud, and her father is the great painter Lucian Freud.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the great artist. And I interpreted one of her dreams, and she said that I did a better job than anyone else that she has ever seen, because she's gone to several analysts.
That's some compliment.
Yeah, it was very special. And when she read one of my papers, she said she felt that her great-grandfather was looking over my shoulder.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was very special.
You're not going to get a better compliment than that. That's really all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very heartening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now let me ask you this. At what point did you realize, obviously you've gotten more degrees than a thermometer, when did you realize that this was the path that you wanted to take?
Well, you know, when I was a child, when I was really very young, what was so interesting was all of my friends would have these dreams, and they would come to me and ask me to interpret them, and I had no problem, which was really strange. I just seemed to automatically know what they meant.
Wow.
And everybody was always very, you know, fulfilled with what I told them. And I just thought, that's really odd that I'm able to do that. And my parents had the interpretation of dreams on their bookshelf. And when I was a child, I used to take it out at night with a flashlight under my bed, you know, because I was terribly naughty.
Like it was a dirty magazine.
Yeah, really.
Yes, I was supposed to be sleeping, and I would be reading this the dreams. And the funny thing is, I wouldn't even read his interpretation. I would just read the dream, and I would sort of know what it meant in certain cases, okay? And to me, it was like a detective story,
yeah.
You know, and I was a detective, and the dreams were clues, you know, all of the symbols were clues, and I was very into all of those books then, like Nancy Drew and all of those things. So it just was so much fun for me to do, and it just seemed like it really cut to the quick of the individual.
You know, I was saying to Lee before that, I mean, I was brought into dream analysis the Sicilian way. My mother, her mother, always, I mean, there's always that culture-based, superstition-based dream analysis. In other words, I remember my mother would say, if you dreamt of your teeth falling out, it meant disappointment. White meant good news, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
So it was around me your whole life, and you kind of know there's really no science to that. It's just handed down data based on superstition.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you know, there's no science to psychoanalysis either.
Yeah, of course.
No, of course not.
But
most
MDs
always say that, yeah.
I'm saying it off the record, but it is on the record.
So now, let me ask you this. What is the most common, I mean, I think the common question is, why do we dream?
Well, we're dreaming because we're working things through when we have a better chance to understand them and focus on what our inner psyche is trying to tell us, because during the day we are distracted by all of the conscious stimuli, all of the sights and sounds and whatever. We really don't have a chance to work on certain things that are bothering us, and a lot of that, of course, is repressed as well because people don't want to deal with it, and they just, you know, shluff it off to the side. But at night when you're sleeping, all of these things are worked through, and that's what cleanses the psyche.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And does everybody dream? Because I was saying
everyone dreams.
Yeah. I usually don't remember. I must, but
that doesn't
I don't
matter.
Remember many of my dreams.
Well, they say you do dream every night, but sometimes you just don't remember. You only remember the memorable ones.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
Nightmares or something.
Yes. Well, I always say the nightmares are the best dreams.
Yeah, because they're vivid.
Yeah.
Well, no, because they tell you what's going on, you know. And when people tell me, oh, gosh, I have this dream and it keeps recurring and whatever, and I say, yeah, it keeps recurring because you don't get it the first time.
That makes sense.
Because when they finally do understand the dream, like many times I work with people and, you know, then, you know, they know the meaning of the dream, it never comes back. It's really quite amazing.
They figured it out.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very interesting. You know?
Now, is there any way of because, I mean, I shared something. I mean, it's a kind of goofy thing. I very rarely dream. And last night I remember the dream that I had, because it was kind of a little quirky. It was me sitting in my office lip syncing to Captain and Tennille's Love Will Keep Us Together. So, I have no idea what that means. I probably don't want to know what it means.
I'm going to analyze it to say you're a fool.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Lee.
So what does that mean for her? How would you analyze that?
I don't really know, because that definitely sound like a real dream.
I'll give you an example of what I dreamt of a couple of days ago. This makes, you know, it's a little more intricate. My friend passed away last April. And in the dream, I was in a dinner party, and she was sitting at the table with us, and my other good friend that we all, it was like a clique of us. It was me and somebody else.
And we were preparing to bury her. She was getting buried that day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was up to that time saying, okay, it's time to put Lydia to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the dream. But she's passed already.
Oh, well, a lot of people dream of the deceased. I mean, you know.
But constantly. Being alive and then putting her down again?
Yes. Well, now you think she was dead when you dreamt the dream, correct?
No, she was alive.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She was alive at the party,
yeah.
Having dinner with everybody,
right.
And I was telling my friend Lucille, okay, it's time for the funeral now, you know, it's time to bury her.
No, but I'm saying in the dream she was alive.
She was alive in the
dream.
Yes,
but in real life she was dead.
Yes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, because a lot of people... In other words, it was time for you to bury her. It was time for you to go on and, you know, I don't know how close you were to this person.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
You know, people dream of things that they wish they would have said or they wish they would have done, particularly after someone dies. There's always kind of a wish to reconnect or reestablish some kind of connection with the deceased or to redo something with the deceased, you know, and... So that's quite frequent. People have, I call them, well, a lot of them are love visitations where the deceased actually comes to the person.
Yeah.
And, but that's a perfectly normal dream.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than lip-syncing a cat and a nail. That's but, you know, what can you do? This is all I got.
We can't even have a dream analyst analyze you.
Well, you know what, the funny thing is, I was thinking before you came on, it's got to be hard to be Lauren for one reason, because I'm sure every party you go to, somebody has a dream,
mm-hmm.
and they find you
right.
in a corner, and instead of enjoying yourself, they come to you and, well, what do you think this means? What do you mean? Right? Am I right?
Well, that does happen a
I'm
lot.
Sure it does.
But
I actually
welcome it, though, because if it's a really good dream, then I'll use it for my column. So,
oh,
you know,
that's true.
Yeah,
no,
so it's then,
like research.
Yeah, then I'm doing my work.
You know. That's got to be easy then. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's
so,
great.
So, yeah, sometimes it's really great. In fact, that has happened where someone at a party has told me a dream at least a couple times, and I have used it in my column because it was just it was a good dream, and it wasn't a usual dream. You know, it wasn't
right.
one that
wasn't
I've done before, so... Yeah, so that's always very nice. And then it's usually just one, and then, you know, you have the rest of the night to party. So.
Yeah.
Do you find that anybody ever gets confused with your dream analysis as to predicting the future or something? They get those lines crossed a little bit or looking for a deeper meaning?
I'm not sure what you just said.
No,
but,
like comparing you to a psychic.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, no, I'm definitely not a psychic, but I have been told that sometimes a dream is a vehicle that allows me to see more, perhaps, than someone else would. But that's only because the person is revealing things to me that I understand, and so I'm able to give them more of an insight. But there are prophetic dreams, and those really do tell the future, but I like to tell people there's a difference between prophetic dreams and predictive dreams, and everyone has predictive dreams. Predictive dreams come from the vast wealth of the unconscious mind. It knows everything that we've ever experienced. Can you imagine? Everything that we've ever known, it's all recorded there, and so it knows, even though we've forgotten, it knows if A happened and B happened, the likelihood of C happening is quite strong.
Mm-hmm.
So it can come out with something, and that might happen, okay? And the person will say, wow, that's a prophetic dream. But it was a predictive dream.
Yeah.
That's coming from your information, inside information. But then the prophetic dream comes from outside information, you know, not the specific, the general. It comes from someplace outside. And so it's not specific to you. It's general to the universe. And those are prophetic dreams.
Wow.
And no one really knows where that information is coming from. I tried to figure that out in one of my books. I did a book called Dream Keys for the Future.
Right.
That book was published all on prophetic dreams and predictive dreams, and actually had Pierre Salinger, who was an old friend of mine.
Oh, wow.
He wrote the foreword for me because he was very psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And he had had a very, very strange dream. In fact, his dream predicted the death of Princess Diana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I was right in the middle of that because he had called me up on the day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, on August 31st at 2 in the afternoon, which is 8 o'clock Paris time. And he called me at 2, and he said, "Lauren, I'm ready to tell you a dream," because I had been asking him for a long time, and he was always so busy. But he called me this particular day, and he said, what was so interesting was there was no visual.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very strange. It was just an audio. And he said, "I heard these words," and the words he heard, of course, if you hear words in a dream, it's very important to listen to what's being said. And it sounded almost biblical. He said he heard someone saying, "Pierre, you must be aware that the worst terrorist attack will occur in Paris in August in the last week." Just like that. And when I heard him say it, we were in the last week, so I said, "Oh, you know, you're really scaring me, because August 31st, 2 in the afternoon, you know, this is pretty much close." That's right. I said, "I hope nothing terrible happens." And he said, "Oh, I don't think so. You know, I had this dream a couple of weeks ago, but I said, but you're telling it to me now, and that, I don't like that." So anyway, I got off the phone. I wrote up his interpretation. And then there was a friend of mine who was a writer, and she very much wanted to be in the literary dreamer section of a new book that I was doing for Asseline. And that was the big coffee table book called Private Dreams of Public People.
Public People, yeah.
And so I, for some reason, I faxed her over, because she said, "Can I see one of the dreams?" I faxed her over Pierre Salinger's dream, the one that I had just interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have sent her Madonna's dream or Luciano Pavarotti or Oliver Stone or Michael Douglas or anyone. I had this vast collection at the time because the book was, you know, nearly finished. Excuse me.
Sure.
And I faxed her over this dream. And she called me up at 4:30 in the afternoon, which is 10:30 Paris time. And she said, "Lauren, that's such a scary dream. I hope nothing terrible happens." 2 hours later, which was 12:30 when it happened, right?
Yeah.
2 hours later, her nephew was dead.
Oh, geez.
In Paris, along with Princess Diana,
because
her nephew was Dodi Fayed.
Oh.
My friend was Sohia Khashoggi.
Oh, wow.
Her nephew.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that I was the middleman. You know, Pierre gave me that dream, and then I gave it to her, which I could have given her any dream. So,
yeah.
You know, it's very, very strange. Until this day, of course, she thinks that she was murdered, that she was, you know, terrorized, meaning, you know.
She was killed.
Yeah. And, you know, it was quite crazy. You know, right after that happened, Pierre called me, she called me. I mean, it was just a crazy, crazy thing.
And how did you process this? Because this had to weigh heavy on you.
Well, I was just really shocked, you know, that Pierre told me something that really came to pass in Paris in the last week. And in terms of it being a terrorist attack, I do believe that she was offed, you know, as they say in England. I do believe that I think they used that light, you know, that they shine a bright light. This is an old Soviet trick when they want to kill someone.
Yeah.
And then the driver can't see if they're riding in front of you, and the driver can't see and they crash. And I think because very early on, I stay up very late at night, and I was listening to the most early reports, and people were saying that they saw this great white light, and then you never heard about that again. And I think that is why he crashed. And here's the real strange thing. When I used to go to the Ritz Hotel in Paris, I used to have a driver named Olivier. And this one particular time, the last time I was there, he was unavailable, and I had André Paul.
Wow.
He was my driver in that gray Mercedes. That's all they had. And I thought he was an excellent driver. I didn't find any problem with him. And if you look at the tapes, you'll see that he was in perfect condition that night. He was drinking coffee and he was jumping up those stairs two at a time. You know, and you don't do that if you're drunk. So there was something definitely that we still don't know about. But the dream was, you know, amazing.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's funny because I remember that day like it was yesterday.
And
I remember just, I mean,
they blamed the paparazzi for the whole thing.
What struck me was, it was like the first time in my lifetime that I looked at somebody and the age that they died. It's like she was born in 1962.
Yeah, she's our age.
It's like, oh, my God, and it's the first time you see a contemporary girl.
Yes. She was such a nice
a wonderful woman.
May she rest in peace. Yeah, a lovely soul. And you know, I would have done her dream actually, because Sohair had told Dodi that I did her dream, and he had said to her, "Oh, Diana would love Lauren. You know, because she would love to have her dream done." So that would have happened. So, you know, the whole thing was very, very upsetting. And
Of course,
I can only imagine. You know, I know it's funny. In this country, we loved her so much that I remember people walking down the street.
Like she was our queen.
But you know something? It was like the day when people would say, when Kennedy was shot.
Oh, yes.
People were walking up to each other in the street saying, "Did you hear about Princess Di?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, such a, you know, again, we have no real connection to royalty, but she was a beautiful person.
She was fine.
You know,
exactly.
She connected on every level of passion and
she
goodness.
She was a lady.
And generosity, and she had a heart, you know. She was
trying to help everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I remember footage of her and Mother Teresa going from place to
place.
Yes, that's very true.
With her, so obviously, wow. So now I want to ask you on a lighter topic.
Mm-hmm.
You recently released a book of poetry.
I did.
Tell me why.
How did you get that?
I think that's wonderful. I'm going to pick it up.
Thank you. Well, it's called Side Effects, and right now it's available at Shakespeare and Company. And there's a website that the book can be purchased over, and also if anyone is in New York, at the store, Shakespeare and Company on Lexington, corner of 69th. But in about a week, it will also be available on Amazon. And the reason I chose the name Side Effects is because life is a series of actions, and every action has its reaction, its consequence, its side effect. So everything that I wrote in the book is a side effect of an experience that I, you know, something that I felt, and that's the result. So I felt it was a very appropriate title. And I've been writing poetry since I was probably in my teens.
So,
it wasn't something that I just started. And a lot of these poems have already been published in, you know, little poetry magazines like the Columbia Review and Harvard Advocate and Kansas Quarterly. You know, that's where these things are published. You send them in and then they take them. So there's at least 22 of the poems have already been published. And the rest, a lot were new that I never bothered sending out because I don't do that anymore. But my mother died in, April 16th, 2016. And so I was so moved by her death and the various reactions that come from that I started writing again because I had stopped for a while. And a lot of poems came out, and I just decided it would make a nice collection.
Yeah, beautiful. And you had a nice turnout that night, I saw.
Yes, it was very, very nice. But, you know, I was very upset that I wasn't given a microphone. I've done a lot of book readings before, and this is the first one I was not mic'd, and, you know, it was very strange.
Wow, you got a low...
I have a low voice.
Low voice.
Yes, and it was a loud store, so, you know, I did the best I could. I also wasn't given a podium, which is most strange.
Those are two X's against Laura Towers. So.
No, see, I wouldn't have.
She wouldn't have spoke.
Yeah, so I was standing holding this book like a choir girl singing Christmas songs. You know, standing in the snow outside of a house. You know, it was so silly because, you know, when you're holding it that way, that's the way you look.
That's
you know?
The way you look, yeah.
Yeah, but I did the best I could. And, you know, I had a lot of great friends who came. And it was, you know, very special to have these people there. And
they kept saying, what, what?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you know, I love book signings and everything because bookstores, I mean, like Shakespeare and Company, Culture.
I never even knew there was a bookstore called
Shakespeare,
that
I love that. I mean, it's not too far from my office.
Yeah.
And I just love that these things still happen because bookstores are just dying off.
They're dying.
Yes, absolutely. Well, this one originally was by the Whitney, and it was this fabulous store, and then they closed, and this is the second incarnation.
Wow.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why I always tell people, go to the bookstore and buy the book. If you can, tomorrow I'm going to buy you a book because I'm on 57th and Lex.
Oh,
and
you're right there.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there.
Right
I'm just going to come right over.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I'm picking up one for you, too, Elise.
I would love
one. They still have enough there?
They have a few copies, but I would call in and just tell them to make more because, you know, it's print on demand. So,
yeah. That's the thing. They don't order a lot because everybody downloads stuff now.
Yeah, well, no, they make them there, right there, which is nice.
Oh, they
that's
make
the
them
source,
there.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And that only takes 5 minutes, but the point is you should call up, because I do know that they had at least 65 books, and they're pretty much gone. There's one in the window.
Wow, good for you.
And one or two are being held for other people, so I would just
call
and say, can you print 2 books for me? That, they do that, and then when you get there, you'll get the books.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Then I'll just call first, and I'll get one for me, one for you, and that'll be it.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And of course.
And you must let me know what you think.
Oh, I absolutely will.
And when are you going to sign it?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Well, you know, if you privately, I can tell you where I live. You can drop it off with my donut.
Oh,
she's
just being
fresh.
No,
she's
just being fresh.
More of an honor.
This
is
wonderful. So what's the next move for you? What do you think? You have probably going to have a busy summer.
She's busy enough.
Yeah. Well,
you're
going to
do a book tour, yes?
Well, I'm going to have, I know I'm going to have other parties, but I just, it's right now, you know, a lot of people are away, so I don't know exactly where the other parties will be, but I will have other parties, and I will let you know. And then I have so many other things, though. I've written a children's book that I really want published. Yeah, it's called It Was Only a Dream. And it's such a sweet little book. Yeah, it's such a sweet book, and it really defuses the, you know, the scary part of a dream. It makes a child like their dreams, and it's something a mother can read the child. It's written in rhyme. It has a lovely kind of musical sound to it, and it's just really charming, and it's so hard to find a darn publisher today, and I lost my literary agent, so it's just sort of on hold.
Yeah.
And, yeah, my agent retired. So,
oh, and you got to find another now.
Yeah, well, it's difficult. It's really difficult.
I know.
So I have that book sitting in the wings. I have the sequel to Private Dreams of Public People in the wings.
Wow.
And so I have all these books ready to go, but, you know, haven't done anything with them yet.
So what do you do in between those times?
Sleep, maybe?
Well,
sleep and dream all day?
I do a lot of I'm involved in a lot of charities. I just chaired a wonderful charity event. It's the Samuel Waxman Cancer Research Foundation. And this is up at Mount Sinai Hospital. Samuel Waxman, Dr. Waxman, has his lab there. And it's a collaborative lab, which is so wonderful. So they talk to other research scientists in China, and they share their ideas. And I think that's just so important in finding a cure. And so I raised a lot of money. I brought in, it's a fashion show luncheon. So last year I was co-chairing. This year I was one of the chairs. I brought in Oscar de la Renta last year. And this year I brought in Caroline Herrera. So we had a wonderful fashion show in a private home. And David Burke contributed the food this time. And so women were just sitting and having wonderful food while they were watching a fashion show. It was just very special, yes. And 99 women came, so it was really wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah, so I do things like that and, you know, just socialize with my friends. And then, of course, I write my column in the Daily News, so that keeps me pretty busy.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause people send me things from all over the world. not just the tri-state area, where it's, which it started as, you know. So I can get things from Nigeria, Mali, Russia. It's, you wouldn't believe it. It's because of the internet. You know, because my column is both in the paper, in the Daily News when it comes out on Sunday, in the actual paper. It's also online, on the Daily News online. So it attracts people from all over the world.
Oh, wow. See, you know,
it's amazing. I have to tell you.
Alit and I were talking before about it being your birthday month and everything. This is really good. I mean, just such a wonderful time to be celebrating so much. I mean, the accomplishments in your life from one year to another. Mm. I mean, this has just got to be such a nice buzz for you around this time of year.
Well, you know, I welcome it this year, and I look at it like as if it's deserved, because 2 years ago on my birthday, I didn't feel well, and I ended up in the emergency room, and I needed my gallbladder removed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know,
happy
so.
Birthday to you. Really.
Yes. Yeah, so this, you know, last year was good, and this year was good. Thank the Lord. So.
Wow.
Yeah, but,
I guess we all get those not-so-great birthdays, and we get the ones, and that's life, right?
No, it is. It is. Life is always filled with the good and the bad.
Oh,
and,
yeah. You know, it has to be.
We have to be grateful for everything that we have.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. I always say everything bad is a gift in a strange package.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
So
just,
true.
You know?
You know what that reminds me of? That wonderful story. I don't know if you've heard it about what who can say if it's good or bad. Do you know that story about the horses, the white horses?
Tell me.
Shall I say it?
Please.
Okay. Well, there was this old man who had he had a lovely horse, and one day the horse ran off. And all the neighbors came around, and they said, oh, we're so sorry to hear that you lost your horse. And he said, well, who can say if it's good or bad? And the next day, that horse came back with five other horses. So then the neighbors all came by, and they said, oh, we're so happy for you. And he said, who can say if it's good or bad? Then the following day, his son is riding on the horse, and the son falls off and breaks his leg. So the neighbors come round again. They said, oh, we're so sorry that your son broke his leg. And he said, who can say if it's good or bad? And then the following day, the son gets a letter from the army that they wanted him to serve in one of the wars, you know, and he couldn't because he had the broken leg. And that's sort of, that's the gist of it. So you really don't know.
That is,
you don't know,
you know
if
what?
It's good or bad.
I
it could be both.
I've never heard that, but that is
that
just
is,
such
yeah, it makes
a
sense.
Beautiful,
mm-hmm.
beautiful
mm-hmm.
thing. Because, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Right, you really
there's
don't
good,
know.
And then there's a band of
wow.
everything.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure where it was going to
no.
go, but you didn't go to the war. My God, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, you really don't know. So when people think something is bad, it might really be good.
Yeah.
You know, for reasons that we don't know.
Because a lot of people are just negative in their
well,
own brain
the
all
thing.
The time.
It's all an angle adjustment of
right.
the lens.
Right,
really
exactly.
Yes.
Now, this is the part of the show where we tell the guests to go plug themselves. So if there's
yes.
anything that we
yes.
didn't hit,
my
that
favorite
you want to
thing.
Talk about.
Yes, well, I wanted to tell all of you dreamers out there that when you dream, please write it down, keep a pen and paper by your bedside, and because otherwise you're going to forget the dream. A lot of people say, oh, I'll remember it, but they don't. So write it down and then send it to me. My email address is yourdreams@nydailynews.com. And just say in your little note that you heard me on Blog Talk Radio on your show, and I will give it special attention.
Perfect.
And then also, if everybody could, you know, buy a book, Side Effects, which is available at Shakespeare & Company, also on their website, on demand, Shakespeare & Company. So it's just called Side Effects, and by Lauren Lawrence. And I would love, you know, the book to get around. It's really a nice little book. And, you know, poetry is an endangered species.
Right.
Poems are endangered species,
exactly.
So they'll all be helping. It's charitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you have a website, love, or no?
No, it's just you know the one of the Daily News. So when people want to reach me, that's the emails, yourdreams@nydailynews.com. Yeah.
And we're gonna put all the it was going to put all the info on our Facebook page tomorrow and do a little PR blast with it.
Oh, thank you so much.
People get to the store, and people get to the store. Go in the store, go pick up a book, go smell the pages. This is what you want to do. That's
yes.
what we have to do. Keep the,
yes.
keep the bookstores
business,
alive.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. It's a nice little book, yeah.
Lauren, it was an absolute pleasure.
It was really
oh,
a pleasure.
Yeah.
It was so different.
Thank you.
I enjoyed every second of it.
Oh,
thank you so
me
much.
Too. Thank you so much for
and
having me.
And enjoy your special week, darling.
Thank you so much. You both
enjoy, love
bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Give her another hand. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Look at them. They really liked her.
She's, you know what? That's exactly right.
See, they just stood up.
They stood up. And you know what the amazing part is? You know, you don't realize, that's why I wanted to ask you, dream analysis there's got to be a few more layers to than just, I mean, it has to be some sort of heavy psych background. She's got several degrees.
Well, you were right about that.
Yeah.
You got to know something about the psyche to,
well, you know,
to analyze
so
anything
many
about dreams.
People,
'cause it comes from the psyche.
Well, let's be serious. There are so many charlatans out there. And that's
in any field.
You know what I want to say? In every analytical field, there are so many charlatans just because sometimes you meet somebody and they're at their last rope and they just want an answer to something and they don't care. They just want it to resonate with you.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people get taken advantage of. But lovely, and I'm going to go down. I'm going to order a copy from
you. Yeah,
I
would like to check it out.
And, well, just to support her, too, and to support the store, and, you know, it's just a nice thing
and
to do.
And there's not enough poetry
and
out there.
And we could take a picture of it and put it on our
for
website.
Sure. Well, you will
but,
anyway.
Check out her column in the Sunday Daily News. It's, you know, the Sunday paper. Now, you know, people don't
the big, thick one.
Yeah, people that don't read the paper during the week will get
they
the
always
Times,
get the Sunday
paper. Yeah, the Daily News, yeah.
And they spend
still,
the whole day reading
it's,
it.
So, yeah, get a cup of coffee, sit out on the patio, and look over her dream column. Lauren Lawrence, thank you very much, darling. And you'll find more of her information on our Facebook page tomorrow. Speaking of poets...
And you didn't even know it.
Wait a second. You everybody knows.
You know, she's part of our show.
The lovely Patty Moore.
Of course.
Okay, now I gotta find she sent me information about the little open mic that she does.
Yes.
In Torrington, Connecticut. Did I get that right? Torrington, is it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
Well, she is having an open mic on Sunday, and I want to give you the specific information about it. But you've got this open mic the first Sunday of every month, and from what she's telling me, there's just more and more people
good
every time.
We give our listeners a taste of her poetry all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is in person, live in person.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be. Now I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's Performance Hub. Now, when was the last time you heard me say I have to put on my glasses? I have to put on my glasses for this, Elite Siegelman.
Okay.
And it's this coming Sunday, July 2nd, and it's going to be at Performance Hub, a speakeasy poetry series on July 2nd in Torrington, Connecticut. And I'm looking for, you could actually, it's www.performancehubusa.com. performancehubusa.com. Or you could go to the lovely Patricia Martin's page and look at all the signages that she has for it. And it starts at 6:30. I think the performance is from 7 to 8:30 at night. And you could bring your own booze and snacks. And it's a suggested donation. And all ages are welcome. So if you've got a teen, if you've got a tot that's showing a little bit of an interest in poetry, or you know,
there's not an age limit.
You just bring them up there, and
so they don't serve alcohol. Though.
Oh no, that's why it's bring your own. Yeah, So if the youngins come up, they're not burping on the way out. You know what I'm saying? But that's this Sunday, July 2nd, and everybody's got like a nice long weekend, so that might be a nice thing to do if you don't get up
on Monday. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are because of the holiday falls. So definitely give her a hello from us. If you go in there and say, Lori and Elite, say hello.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll see you next month. That's what you tell them. She'll know. She'll wink and a nod. She'll know. And who do we love? We love. Someone's coming on our show soon. Topperson. He's going to be on soon. And Topperson for all your needs in the summer for the aches and the breaks that summer are about. You definitely need Topperson. Regular foot formula, Topperson Jr.
Anti-burn cream.
All that ails you, www.topperson.com. And you'll find whatever you need there. I could rattle off a list. No reason to. You'll find it. Their name says it all. Look, I can't lead everybody. Go there and look. And you'll find it for yourself. Be big people. Put your big pants on and go. Topperson.
I'll tell you, her voice made me very tired.
She's got a very soothing, very dreamy voice.
She,
you know what? She probably would have been very good. I wonder if she ever dabbled in hypnosis because you could just nice, easy voice. The lovely Lauren Lawrence. And she'll be back on with us. I have a feeling she'll be back on with us.
Why not?
So we'd like to thank her for joining us. I would like to thank my lovely co-host.
Well, thank you.
For dodging.
Thank you to my lovely co-host.
Thank you, darling.
And thank you to all our co-hosts out there listening to us.
They are listening. Mm-hmm. They are part of the show,
They're just growing and growing.
They are part of our show. And
thank you, thank you, thank you.
And this is the truth. This is a huge thank you for you. We won't be back next week. We'll be back the following week with a very, very, very big
special
show.
We're not
but
even
you'll hear
tell
our
you.
Voices in reruns next nah. week. And above all, make it a very safe 4th. Play it safe. Drive. Don't drive drunk.
Don't be lighting a firecracker.
Be nice and sober. And if you're lighting anything, please be mindful of fuses, matches. Just be really careful. Leave it to the professionals. That's why Macy's has a wonderful display every year. People get paid to do it because they do it well.
But don't go to see it.
Well, why not?
Not in the city.
Oh, no, but you could go from Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah, there's so many different vantage points. Don't go into the city.
You know, I know a lot of people that bought apartments.
Just to see that, right?
Then when they moved it one year, people were like,
I wonder if you could get like a boat and go into the.
I don't know if they're allowed to do anything harbor-wise that night.
Yeah.
I don't think anything is allowed because you know, especially nowadays, you just don't know. So, in saying that, be safe, do something wonderful for the planet, and we will see you next time around. Take us home, Nina.
Love each other.
There you go.